Welcome along to the Rugby Pass podcast. This is the Short Pod with Scotty Stevenson and Mills Muliaina. Today is the 9th of October, New Zealand time. We are wrapping up all sorts this weekend, Millsy. But before we get to the domestic competitions, the Mitre 10 Cup and the Farah Palmer Cup, let us talk about that game on Saturday in South Africa. What a test.
Oh, that was awesome, wasn't it? So, I mean, it made getting up at 3 a.m. in the morning worthwhile.
You had digestives.
You didn't even
open them. Producer Blair brought in digestives just for you, given your biscuit chat.
I know, and I just didn't feel like it at the time.
No, you didn't, and I couldn't believe that.
No, but man, whew, what a game.
You know, a lot of talk after that match that South Africa are back, you know. There's some honour in the jersey once more after that shellacking they took in Albany, but they still didn't win the game. Is that a problem for South African rugby? Is that a problem, as reports have emerged? Now, we talked on the podcast last week that if the All Blacks' domination of this competition is not ideal, for the All Blacks, not ideal for the Southern Hemisphere, and more reports after the game on Saturday night that that is still the case. You know, South Africa, yes, played much better, yes, gave us a great showing, but ultimately on the wrong side of the ledger again.
Yeah, I know. I don't think it's a bit of a worry. I just, you know, I think... You know, they know what they can produce. You know, they put a lot of pressure on the All Blacks, and both teams played very, very well. It wasn't as if South Africa played well and the All Blacks didn't. You know, both teams, you know, produced a spectacular performance. So yeah. The thing that worries me going forward is, you know, can they reproduce that again if they were, you know, going to go away and play the likes of Argentina this week? You know, can they get to the same intensity, the same skill set? And I just question whether they have that ability to be able to do that.
What about a couple of those All Blacks too? You know, David Harvilli, we wrote on Rugby Pass in August about David Harvilli, and he's had two test matches and he's had a hand in both. The results of both, including the setup for Damien McKenzie's try, which was a go-ahead try for the All Blacks. You know, this kid does not look ruffled at this level of the game.
No, he definitely doesn't. And I mean, you know, his first couple of touches in test match footy has been, you know... fantastic. You know, he came on in the Argentinian game, made a massive break. I think that might have been his first touch. In the weekend, same thing. Just after, you know, a halftime break, he made a nice little break down the sideline, and we possibly could have scored down there if Liam Squire didn't drop the ball. But, you know, what he produced and that sort of offload and the way he played and, you know, setting up Damien McKenzie. Yeah, Damien still had a lot of work to do, you know, and in your second test, to be able to do things like that, just goes to show how much confidence and skill this guy has.
Exactly right. Well, we're going to get hold on the line now. Wyatt Crockett, All Black prop forward, and a man who just keeps on trucking, was great again on Saturday afternoon against the South Africans, where he had to scrum again with Ruan Dreher. And here he is. Hello, Crocky.
G'day. I'm Drew.
You're dressed straight out of the shower and you're live on the podcast, Crocky. I'm glad you got clothes on.
That's the one. Yeah, I'm good.
Scotty, Sumo and Mills here. Crocky, first of all, congratulations not just on the Rugby Championship, but what a thrilling test match in South Africa. And by the looks of some of the photos that you boys have posted, it was a great celebration after as well.
Yeah, it was. It was an awesome week. Cape Town, obviously, got massive support over there and from the locals. And awesome test match to be involved in. Like you said, you know, turning up to the ground and this, you know, thousands of Africans, you know, lining the streets and chanting and supporting and get into the game. It was obviously a cracker of a game. Went right to the last seconds and, it's one of those games that you'll always remember. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, Crocky, I mean, can you explain a little bit more about that? Like, you know, you often, I mean, is it still the same from back in my day where, you know, obviously you turn up and all we sort of see is pictures here of, you know, the South African, well, the All Black supporters sort of singing the national anthems and things like that. But it carries on throughout the whole week, doesn't it? You know, they sit outside the hotel, you know, they're ringing your phone constantly. Are they still actually doing, you know, a lot of that from the very moment you touch down in Cape Town right through until you leave?
Yeah, mate, it's extremely unique. You know, we turn up to a foreign country and there's just these thousands of Cape Townians that just have this massive amount of passion for the All Blacks, and it's like nothing you see ever anywhere else in the world. Like you say, they're at the hotel all week, you know, waiting all day just to get a signature and a photo with the boys. It's, you know, you kind of feel like you're a bit of a rock star, really, when you walk out for a coffee and you got guys waiting for photos and they know every single player's name. They know what Super Rugby team they play for. They, you know, they just absolutely love it, love the All Blacks. So, Yeah, and as I say, right through the whole week, they're trying to sneak into the hotel to get photos and just have a quick yarn to the boys. So it's pretty amazing.
Croggy, you get a bit jaded after a while of covering press conferences and listening to the quotes of coaches, but Steve Hansen, from the moment you guys touched down, talked about the fact that he wasn't buying into this hype around South Africa and the fact that they didn't stand a chance. He knew they were going to come pretty hot at you. Was that the feeling within the team as well? Because I know how much respect you have for Springbok rugby.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was said, we're always going to be extremely pumped up to obviously... I suppose show what they're worth and show, you know, that they're a far better side than what they put out in Albany and they did that, obviously turned up with a game plan, and they didn't kick the ball as much. They they played very well, you know, like we only had one scrum on our ball, so it just shows the deliberate execution that they had, and I think there was only six lineouts as well, so not a real set piece game. It was just their big ball carriers just rumbling it up hard. Obviously, they were tough men to put down, and just made it a great challenge.
Mate, speaking about scrums, all right, and I know a little bit more about it now. You know, after sitting there at, it must be a massive call. I mean, Steve Hansen didn't quite drip feed, you front row on. He sort of just put you on, right in amongst it. And the first sort of thing that you guys did was a scrum. You know, to bring on, two props and a hooker, a whole new front row, that must be massive sort of boost of confidence. I mean, mentally, I know we've spoken about it before, mentally in a game when you're sitting on the bench and you're about ready to go, I mean, what sort of goes through your head when you're thinking far out, we've got to go out there and there's a whole new thing, and how do you get right into the game with a first scrum?
Yeah, you're definitely nervous, especially in a big game that's really close, and I suppose you want to get out there and you want to make your first couple of actions good ones. But I suppose we're a little bit used to it, front rows now, we all know that we're going to get decent minutes. We're sort of pretty much ready to go straight after halftime. We go out a little bit earlier than the rest of the team, go and run through a few moves and I suppose try and get a bit of a puff on, try and get that second one so that we're ready to go. But yeah, to get out there with just 5 minutes gone in that second half, we knew it was still a big job to go, and I think the guys that came on did a really good job again. So now it seems to be going well. That bench, we were sort of always talking about it, just how important it is that we come on and finish the job off and really add something. So,
Croggy, we've blown enough smoke up your butt over the years, but I just wonder if you had a quick word on Offa Tuongafasi. I thought that was the best 20, 30 minutes I've seen him play in an all-black jersey, especially at the end. You two were running your own show out there. You were like the Harlem Globetrotters of offloads and short balls. It was like two men just playing around in the backyard with each other. Just a word on how he's developed in this all-black team and what you thought of his performance against the Springboks.
Yeah, he's been like unreal this year. Obviously when we lost Charlie's done such an awesome job on the bench for the All Blacks for a number of years now, and he always came on and added some impact. So losing him, and then I suppose Offa's just gone from strength to strength. He's really gained a lot of confidence. We've been doing a lot of front row sessions as we always do, but we've put a lot of time and effort into that, and Crono's obviously done a huge amount of work there. And but I think in terms of Offa, like, he's always had that raw potential, that strength, and just that week in, week out, that footy at that level, and he's just gone, as I say, just gone from strength to strength, and now he's done a great job.
Croggy, finally, the All Blacks win the rugby championship. You went to Argentina, mm-hmm. you knew you'd had it, and the fact is you know you'd had the rugby championship when you played Argentina. To still go to South Africa and know you had another job to do takes a lot of mental focus, a lot of preparation, especially with fatigued bodies. When you look back on this rugby championship season, especially on the back of the Lions series, would you this be one of the prouder moments of your black career, to know that you've had to bring a whole lot of guys through, that you've had to play in all sorts of time zones, and you've just had to be on your game week after week?
Yeah, I reckon it is. It's we haven't had it all our own way the whole year. It's been there's been some really good patches, some average patches through those tests, but I think the way that the team sort of come through. We haven't, you know, we haven't ever given up or I suppose in some trying situations we've come through pretty well. So it was just a real good example of that game on the weekend. You know, where you know, they came back and got ahead, and we had to fight really hard, and they were obviously pretty pumped up and playing some good footy. So, you know, coming through those sorts of games is massive for the team. You know, I've talked about the group that's changed over. There's been a lot of new guys coming in this year and last year, and no, those sorts of games are massive for us.
I know you're giving Nelson College all the credit here, considering you and David Haverley were on the field at the end of that game, Crocky. So I'll let you bask in that glory for another couple of weeks, mate, and we look forward to seeing you in Brisbane for the third Bledisloe. Thanks for your time on the short ball, buddy.
Love being on the show, mate, and thanks very much. It's great to see young Davey, the young kid out of Nelson, doing so well. Cheers.
You're old enough to be his dad, Crocky. You know that, eh?
I actually played with his dad, so
there's his bet. All right,
mate. Played with his dad for Nelson Bays B, just when I was in my last year at school. So
there you go.
There you go.
Great connection. Cheers, Crocky.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, lad. See you later.
Why, Crockett, speaking from Christchurch, happy to be home, I think, as well. He was great in the final stages of that game, and I thought off at Tuonga Fassi, we were watching the game together, Millsy, I thought he was outstanding. But, you know, we do need to change tack a little bit and give some credit to the South Africans. Malcolm Marks, I know there's been a lot written about him, a lot said about him over the last couple of days, but my goodness, what a talent he is.
Yeah, he was an absolute beast, and I think I mentioned it, you know, after the game that they need to get on the same wavelength as him, because he just, I mean, showed grit, determination, his skill over the ball, you know, even in the wider channels. You know, he turned over a lot of pill when the All Blacks were building, you know, some pressure and looked to be scoring. So his performance in the weekend was just stood out, you know, to me out of both teams.
You know, what the other thing about him too, his scrum's going backwards. Mm-hmm. Ruan Dreher, his tight head props under an awful lot of pressure in that game, and yet Malcolm Marks still has the energy to withstand that pressure at scrum time in a set piece, throw a pretty good dart. At line-out time. Yeah, and the Springbok line-out was much better than it was in Albany.
Yep.
And then all that work around the field, both in the ball carry and over the ball, winning turnovers. You know, I don't think I've seen a performance like that in a test match for a long time. From a front row, we talk a lot about Dane Coles in New Zealand, but Malcolm Marks is the hooker 2.0.
Oh, absolutely. And usually you sort of see, you know, a performance like that from a back. You know, they have a bit of a rest. They don't have to do too much set pieces and things like that. But when you're going backwards, you're exerting a lot of energy into actually scrummaging and helping your tight head or your loose head, whoever's getting dominated. And then, but the way he played and how sort of open he was, and you know, he even set up a couple of tries, a few he scored one himself, actually two, didn't he?
Set one up, scored one himself.
Yeah, and so I mean, he just had a complete, you know, when they often talk about complete performances, he had one.
One other thing about the test match, it seems to me now we've had a lot of analysts come through and pundits come through and starting to compare Damien McKenzie and Ben Smith and who has the job going forward. Conveniently forgetting Geordie Barrett was the talk of the town 6 months ago, and with his injury, no one's even mentioning him in the same sentence. No. It's an embarrassment of riches in the back three, notwithstanding Nehi Milne-Scudder's latest injury setback. I think the comparison's wrong. Damien McKenzie is a very special player, we know that, but you don't just throw out a guy like Ben Smith or start comparing them. Well, one's played 70-odd test matches, the other's at the start of his career.
I mean, that sort of annoys me a little bit when they start doing that. You know, when you've got a guy that's just, you know, brought so much to the All Black jersey, his experience and things like that. And yes, don't get me wrong, Damien McKenzie is playing some outstanding football, and he's going to be even better. You know, and I'm loving the way he's playing at fullback. But you can't forget about those guys that you know, that are around. So we've got an embarrassment of riches in the back three, and that's what you want. That's what you want. That's why the All Blacks are so good. You could take, you know, two teams out of this and play. Yep. You know, play, and you wouldn't even know who would win. You know,
that's right. Yeah, I agree with you, Mills. I mean, look, it's a great setup, and we talked about that stat last week. 36 players the All Blacks had used during the Rugby Championship. That's six more. And five more than the other teams have, and also their bench. You know, once again, the bench to the fore. We're going to change tact here because the Mitre 10 Cup's coming down to the wire as well. Still, we don't have our final seedings apart from Wellington, who will host semi-final in the championship in a couple of weeks' time, but everything else is up for grabs here. So we'd get on the line a man who's got a pretty important game tomorrow night as well. New Zealand Sevens contracted player. He's been about, he's a Commonwealth Games gold medalist, and he's with the Turbos tomorrow night as they take on Taranaki for the Ranfurly Shield. He is Kurt Baker, and we'll get him on the line. Is that you, KB?
So, mate.
How are you, son?
How are you?
Good, mate. Hey, what a week for the mighty Turbos, heading up the road to Yarrow Stadium and seeing what you can do with a log of wood on the line.
Yeah, all the stars aligned last week, so it's perfect. We get to go up and play for something pretty choice, so looking forward to it.
You got Nani Laumapi back in the lineup as well, mate, which is a great boost for you guys. But, of course, unfortunately, poor Nehi can't be there given his dislocated shoulder. Whether he would be there or not is questionable. But having Nani back, what does he add to the team?
It's always good adding a wrecking ball to your back line. So if there's someone else you can throw the ball to cut it up, then it's positive for the team. So obviously he's pretty talented, and he showed what he could do when he came back last time against Otago. So looking forward to him opening up.
KB, you're in a good position, really. You're in the semi-final spot at the moment in the championship, but you've also got a game in hand over all of your rivals. So, with the Shield on the line, I know that'll be motivation in itself, but having Hawke's Bay to finish the season gives you two bites at that semi-final cherry. Are the boys pretty much well aware of what needs to be done in terms of being in the playoff mix?
Yeah, I think so. We've sort of been following it from, early on in the season. Obviously, there's two pretty tough games with the Naki and then Hawke's Bay last, but we know what we've got to do. It's just a matter of getting out there and doing it now.
Hey, Kurt Mills here, mate. Hey, you look like you're enjoying being back in New Zealand. You had a little stint overseas and whatnot. You got a little bit of stability now with being back in the Sevens. How have you found sort of your time overseas and also sort of coming back, and if you're comparing the two, mate?
To be honest, I think it was probably more an eye-opener. I think it made me appreciate, how lucky we are in New Zealand. Obviously, you're probably well aware it didn't work out as flash as it probably should have in Italy. Yeah. So, we come back to New Zealand, we looked after pretty well. And as I said before, I'm just pumped that I can play for teams that I'm, proud of being a part of and passionate about. So, it's a lot more exciting being back, and I'm probably more appreciative than you think at the moment.
That's good from you, KB. Have you grown up a little?
Well, yeah, I've turned 29, but I actually don't plan to grow up anytime soon. So,
no.
Yeah.
No, please.
Just it depends who's asking the question.
Yeah, no, please don't, mate. Please never grow up. You are a pest, and that's just the way we like you. Hey, I wanted to talk to you. There's been some setbacks in your career at Super Rugby level. You've had a couple of digs, and I know you had that last dig with the Highlanders, and that didn't work out. I guess, promises are made as they always are when you're signing contracts. And then you wanted to go back to Sevens and away again, now back to Sevens under Clark Laidlaw. What keeps you fired up to play World Series rugby with the Sevens team?
For me, it's probably there's just things that I don't think I've achieved within a team and me individually. So, I'm pretty motivated and I hate losing, so that keeps driving me.
Wouldn't have guessed, KB. Wouldn't have guessed.
So it drives me to keep going. And, as I said, there's things that I want to achieve in that, especially in that Sevens jersey that I haven't. And I feel like, I want to go there and add to the environment that I know that it can be. So having you answer Clark in that, he wants to change a few things. And, I think it's going to be pretty exciting times for the Sevens team going forward.
KB, back to the Mitre 10 Cup. You're in the championship division, obviously. Is there a hope and a will and a want in the Manawatu region that you guys can get up there back into the top flight of our domestic league?
Yeah, I definitely think so. They're sort of, they've proven that we can win the championship in past. So
yeah.
There's nothing stopping us from thinking we can do it again. It's just each game, as you said, we've got those two games. If we get to the semis, then we're two games away, really, from being a chance to go up. So, we've just got to keep doing what we can control and then hopefully get the reward of going up to that premiership at the end of it all.
Now, this game has some significance for you too, this midweek game against Taranaki, because you once jumped the fence, mate, and put on the Naki colours. And I know that it took the Turbo fans a long time to forgive you for that, but this would be the ultimate, wouldn't it? You'd be redeemed for life if you were to score the winner in this game.
Yeah, well, it's funny. CEO said to me today, he's like, you owe us after, I think, last... last time Manawatu went up for the Shield, I was actually playing with Taranaki, and it wasn't a very good day for Manawatu rugby. So I'm glad I can be on the other side of the fence and try, you know, inflict some sort of what's the word you'd use? Just pestfulness, I'd say.
Yeah, just so, general pestiness. Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of thumbs up.
That's a win. But, you know, I'm not aiming to get any tries. I'll just try and chip away at some lads and then see what we can get out of it.
Do you find that, it brings up a question around the player movements. It's not quite what it used to be. You know, a lot of players now spread around our provinces who are all from different parts of the country. That's life in the semi-pro leagues. But do you feel that there is still the same honour code when it comes to putting on the jersey, no matter where you're from? Once you put on that jersey, are we still talking about the same passion, the same drive?
For me, yeah, I think so. You know, obviously I went up to the Naki. I spent 2 years here and then went up to the Naki. I'm proud of what I achieved in that province, but at the end of the day, I'm from Tami, went to school here. You know, this is where my rugby started, so I think I'm just as proud, or if not prouder, to be putting it back on. Some guys move around and they've got different reasons for that, but I'm pretty happy to say that I've only played for the two provinces, and for me, this is home really. So it's not. You know, it's something I'm, stoked to be a part of, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate, obviously, back to the Ranfurly Shield, it's going to be massive. And, you know, Taranaki were pretty impressive against, to win that, having been, 30-odd points down. Is there one area, without, sharing too much, that you think you guys can actually try and nullify in Taranaki to make sure that you guys are on the winning side?
Yeah, I think for us, probably just defensively. You look across their board, they've got game breakers left, right and centre. So if we can stay connected as a group defensively, I think, we can hopefully nullify a few of those guys. But until that day rolls, like tomorrow rolls around, you don't really know how the game's going to pan out. Yeah. We need to cross the ball. But, I just think for us, it's staying connected as a group on the defensive line. Because if we don't, from sort of 1 to 15, they've got a pretty dangerous bunch of boys.
Well, I certainly do, mate. But I know you'll be sitting around doing nothing today in your compression tights. So prepare well, KB, and we look forward to seeing you in action there at Yarrow Stadium tomorrow night. Best of luck to you and the Turbos, mate, and that Shield Challenge. Go well, buddy.
Awesome. Cheers, lads.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Kurt Baker, member of the New Zealand Sevens team and, of course, the Turbo, heading up to Taranaki or down to Taranaki. Where do they go? Do they go up or down? My geography is shot when it comes to that part of the world.
Up, sideways.
They'll go sideways, all right. Well, someone will be afterward at the Crowded House in New Plymouth. There's always someone sideways in that bar. But, I love this competition. I love how it's got down to the wire. And, you talked about the Taranaki performance against Canterbury last Friday night. I'm a little bit of bias because I was obviously there calling the game, but I think that's the catalyst this competition needed.
Oh, mate.
A game like that.
Yeah,
definitely. Absolute season changer for the Mitre 10 Cup.
Well, I flicked over and I thought they were gone. I did. And some of the stuff that they produced, and this is Canterbury you're talking about, a team that defensively do not have any leaks. And so it was just awesome the way they came back. And, obviously the Cantabs fought back. But the way they won it, the broken play, they had sort of key players, and Kurt sort of touched on it. If they don't stay connected, those players will, Setter, man, how big
he was, great.
Was he, did
yeah,
he have?
He was really good, and Lachlan Boucher is the other one, yes. The number 7 for Taranaki. We talk about Malcolm Marks after the Springbok All Black game. Lachlan Boucher's performance in the 7 jersey for Taranaki on Friday night was the stuff of legend.
Yeah, and he was all over the place, wasn't he? Oh. So, performances like that, that's what get you – Super Rugby contracts, right? And I'm glad I'm glad it's come down to the wire and that not one team's dominating, or we sort of had mixed sort of results over the last few weeks.
Well, and you go through the table, Millsy. Canterbury on 36 points, Taranaki on 36 points with a game in hand. Mm-hmm. They've got two games this week, the Shield Challenge on Wednesday night, and then they've got one more, which is a tough one against North Harbour, who are currently on 32 points, and Tasman on 30. So Counties Monaco cannot make the playoffs now. Auckland and Waikato, on the other hand, are now locked in a relegation battle. You couldn't make this stuff up. Auckland have got to play Canterbury on a bounce back after losing the Shield in Taranaki at Eden Park. And Auckland went down to Tasman, of course, in their last fixture. Waikato, on the other hand, have got Bay of Plenty, who beat Otago at Forsyth Bar Stadium. I look at those two games and I think to myself, I would give Waikato more of a chance than I'm giving Auckland this week. Yep. And I don't know if that's fair or not, but We could see Auckland relegated out of the Premiership for the first time in their province's history.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right. And you're right to probably give Waikato that, you know, the edge in there, given that, you know, they possibly, they, well, they should have won against North Harbour. They were sort of pipped at the last, the 82nd minute. And so, and Auckland, you know, I mean, is that game, that Bay of Plenty game, that's the Auckland we want to see. And then, you know, the following week, you know, they lose to Tasman. So, but I still think there's a bit of rivalry there between, you know, the Auckland and, well, and the and Canterbury sort of,
you know, 100%.
From back in the day. So,
well, mate, even if there's no thought about that in Auckland, there's certainly thought about that in Canterbury.
Oh, I can
assure you. You know, yeah, and that's the reality. And that's what Auckland needs to match that passion.
Yeah.
Canterbury will be coming up to Eden Park to absolutely crush them.
Yeah, and given, you know, given they've lost the Shield, and they'll want them to go down. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that Cantabs will make sure that they'll be hoping that they go down.
I think it's the greatest thing in history, right? Yeah. And that's on Friday night, of course, and then we don't have to wait too long to see the Waikato Bay of Plenty game. So, you know, if Auckland can get the job done here, they're safe. Ultimately, that's all they need to do. They just need to win by hook or by crook to get a victory over Canterbury. That's what their season comes down to.
I'm hoping they do. I'm hoping, as a former Auckland player, you know.
Yeah, you can, of course.
But, you know, everything's against them. And their backs are against the wall. You know, it's whether they want to come out fighting or not, you know. And so, but I haven't quite seen that sort of that mentality from the Auckland side this year.
It's a short ball, a Rugby Pass podcast. We're going to wrap it up with the Mitre 10 Cup Championship. As we mentioned, Wellington well ahead, one game to play for them. And that's up against the Taniwha. So the Taniwha's road to the playoffs may come up against the speed bump here. I hate to say it, but that's a tough gig, last round before the playoffs. Bay of Plenty, if they beat Waikato, then they're short of a playoff spot. Northland can go from second to fifth this weekend. And that's how close it is. Everyone, Wellington, Northland, Bay of Plenty, Manawatu, Otago, are playing for playoffs here. Wellington's the only one secure. So four teams into three, this will come down to. Otago have got Southland, and given the way the Stags have gone this year, you'd think that Otago would get up over them. That puts them on a minimum of 25 points, equal with Northland. And then the rest of the round unfolds. It's a crazy finish to the championship.
Well, the Stags will do Northland a favour this week. Just for you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Hey.
That's really nice of them.
Oh,
if they did that, look, I mean, I love the Stags, don't get me wrong, but you're an Invercargill man.
Just because you...
Have you got some connections down there?
Well,
you've still got connections there?
A couple, yeah, there's a few connections down there.
Lastly, but very much not leastly, also the Farah Palmer Cup wraps up round robin play this weekend as well. Counties Manukau, Canterbury, Auckland, Manawatu currently sitting in good positions, but you've still got a couple of others there who could jump up and take a spot. Everyone of the Premiership teams in the Farah Palmer Cup can make the semi-finals at the moment. And the news is not so good in the Championship division, where Hawke's Bay and Tasman have gone, North Harbour probably too. But, you know, it's been a great competition again, and it's always good to see the Farah Palmer Cup expanding.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's quite sad that you hear sort of that, you know, North Harbour, because they actually challenged Auckland, you know, and I think the year before they were beaten by 50 or 60 odd points, you know, so they sort of closed the gap a little bit. So, but I've been really impressed about the skill level, you know, and some, and the physicality. Like, there's not much stepping going on sometimes with some of these girls, and man, there's some brutality there. So it's been a very good competition so far too, mate.
All right, Millsy, that'll do for the short ball today. Thanks to Wyatt Crockett and Kurt Baker for joining us. Don't forget, if you want to get into any of the action this weekend in the Mitre 10 Cup, we certainly recommend you do. You can go to rugbypass.com and all the European rugby you can sink your teeth into as well. See you next week.
Ciao.